From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Last Week Before the Cross, part of his series In the Life of Christ. In the Gospel account of Matthew 21, verses 12 through 22, the Lord Jesus Christ strode inexorably toward the ultimate goal of his earthly existence, his death on the cross. He let nothing stand in the way of that. But during those final days before Calvary, he exercised his divine offices, first as priest by cleansing the temple. As king, he cursed the barren fig tree, providing a lesson that God demands reality in the lives of those who profess to be followers of Him. Before the preaching of the Word of God, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reports that J.I. Packer is threatened with suspension.
The worldwide Anglican Communion has been in disarray for a long time now due to the scandalous acceptance of practicing homosexuals by some Episcopal churches, notably the American Episcopal Church. The American branch of Anglicanism elevated Gene Robinson to be the Bishop of New Hampshire, despite the fact that he's divorced from his wife and is living in a sodomite relationship. Other Anglicans were revolted by this flagrant departure from even the appearance of Christian practice. Robinson from time to time pours oil in the flames of controversy, most recently by alleging that without its practicing homosexual clergy, the Church of England could not function. There has been almost endless talk about splits and peace plans. The Archbishop of Canterbury is rumoured to be pushing a plan to allow conservative churches and clergy to remain under conservative bishops or be transferred to them. This is typical of Rowan Williams. Just let the wickedness continue, shuffle the personnel around a little, give the hothead conservatives time to cool down, continue business as usual, and soon the whole controversy will have died down. But now the controversy has taken another turn. One of the Church of England's best known evangelicals is J.I. Packer. Packer's a theologian of international reputation. Time magazine labelled him as the doctrinal Solomon of evangelical thinkers and named him in the top 25 of the world's leading evangelicals. Now Dr. Packer, who's 82, is threatened with suspension from the Anglican Church of Canada as one who has abandoned his ministry. Along with a number of other clergy, Packer is reported to have been involved in a series of meetings in which congregations in four parishes in the Diocese of New Westminster have voted to join a foreign church. On February 22, the Bishop of New Westminster, Michael Ingham, wrote to the clergy involved, asking them to tell him whether they have left the ministry of the Anglican Church of Canada and if they were seeking admission into another religious body outside Canada. According to media reports, members of the four congregations voted to ask Don Harvey, a retired bishop who resigned from the Anglican Church of Canada, to provide episcopal oversight. Harvey has declared himself to be a bishop of an Anglican church in South America, the province of Southern Cone, based out of Buenos Aires, Argentina. There's a terrible irony here. All his ministerial life, J.I. Packer has resisted every call to separate himself from the apostasy of the Anglican Communion. In that determination, he has compromised the glorious theology he has ably expounded by his associations with compromisers and corrupters of the gospel. He is exiting the Anglican Church of Canada over the homosexual clergy controversy, as he should. But apart from that controversy, there are multiple reasons why he should have got out long ago. For example, and I'll deal with this more tomorrow, God willing, his current bishop is more Hindu in belief than Christian. He is a vicious denier of the gospel, just as much as the homosexual bishop of New Hampshire. Bishop Ingham is not alone among Anglican bishops in his repudiation of Christian doctrine, and Packer has known this to be the case, yet he stayed in. Now, if he doesn't voluntarily leave the Anglican Church of Canada, or quit opposing the acceptance of homosexuality in the church, he'll be kicked out. He should have obeyed the Bible and separated long ago.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
man may bring in all the filth of the world, but his purpose is to drive it out. And let me tell you, the day is coming when he will do so finally. His purpose is to gather out of his temple, his kingdom, his church, all things that are offensive to God. What a picture you get here of things attractive to man, acceptable to man, but offensive to God. I don't want to get off on another track this morning, but I want to tell you, if there's anything should search the hearts of people who feel themselves and think themselves to be part of the professed Church of Christ, this is it. You are either among those things that are accepted of God by the purging of the blood of Christ and the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, or you are among those things that are offensive to God, unacceptable, unwashed, unconverted, unregenerate, unjustified, and unsaved. We sit in church together, saint and sinner. We sit in church together, the holy and the hypocrites. And in a certain sense, one may be indistinguishable from the other to human eyes. In another sense, one may be even as acceptable as the other by human standards. But Christ, the messianic priest, sits to purge his temple. I want to ask you this morning, if the Lord were to move through this building to purge out that which is offensive to God because it has never been covered by the blood of atonement, because it has never been brought by repentance and faith to embrace Christ as he's offered in the gospel. If God were to move through this building this morning to purge out all that which offends God, how many seats now occupied would be empty? How is it with your soul? Forget about what I think of you or what you can make me think about you. Forget about how you are accepted among people. Do you stand accepted of God? Or are you among the offenders waiting to be purged out by the cleanser of the temple? If you are, the second great act of Christ is one that will bring hope, because in the temple he healed. The blind and the lame came and he healed them. There's a tremendous contrast here, where you have people in great need and they're seeking the Lord. And there in the temple, the great priest of God's appointing, having purged out this old filth that had got into the temple, he healed and he met the needs of these poor souls. And as soon as he did so, you had many of the religious, and there they were, crying out against him for doing it. Why? Because it brought great honor and praise to his name. It's one of the terrible things you can say about the priests, that when they saw the wonderful things that he did, they rejected him. When they saw the wonderful things that he did, when they heard the cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. What a tragedy. But I say to you this morning, however the religionists like it or dislike it, Christ, the priest in the temple, is still able to meet the blind and the lame and the needy and the sinful, and he's able to heal them perfectly. In other words, you can come into this place as those that offend and go out of this place as those who are saved. The Lord Jesus is still saving souls. And that's why the cry goes up, Hosanna to the Son of David. Remember what Hosanna means? Save, Lord. Save, Lord. That's all it means. Save, Lord. Is that not a cry that should be going up in this church this morning? Is it not a petition that should be arising to the Lord from some of your hearts? Save, Lord. Is it not the prayer that every Christian should be lifting up for family and friends and those around about who are not saved? Save, Lord. Oh, let us recognize who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the living Christ who is mighty to save. We're not in business simply to pray that the Lord will bring people into the church. That's wonderful as far as it goes. But they can go straight from a church pew to hell as quickly as they can go from a bar stool to hell. That's not to equate the two by any means, but it's true. No, when we get them here, and we must never lose this passion, we're crying, Save, Lord, and thereby show the highest glory of Christ on earth. For isn't this the marvel of God's mercy? That he who could show his glory by scattering more stars through the firmament shows his glory by saving sinners, by lifting them out of the depths of their depravity and their corruption, purifying them, making them whiter than snow, and rightly relating them to God. That's where he shows his highest glory. And we come to cry, Hosanna in the highest. Save, Lord, and thereby bring the highest glory to your own great name. Here's his acts as a priest. As a king, he did some interesting and significant things. I'll mark three of them. First, he cursed the barren fig tree. We have read of that this morning. Second, he sat by the treasury of the temple and he judged the value of the gifts and the hearts and the worship of those who brought those gifts. And then in Matthew 23, he passed judgment on the scribes and the Pharisees. Three acts of Christ, the kingly judge. Now, why did he curse the barren fig tree? It has perplexed a lot of people. Let me make it clear, this was not a reaction that Christ made in a fit of bad temper. Christ never had bad temper. Understand that. This was not a reaction of just some pique because he didn't get what he wanted. There's no petulance in this. Why did the Lord Jesus curse the barren fig tree? Look at verse 19. He saw a fig tree in the way. He came to it, and he found nothing thereon but leaves only. Leaves only. That's all. By appearances, that fig tree should have had fruit. But it didn't. It had nothing but leaves. Fruitless. Nothing but leaves. Now remember that, and this is certainly not a preacher's imagination, this is something you'll find in both Testaments. Remember that the Scriptures constantly bring before us the fig tree as the emblem of Israel. I'm not going to take time to go through the scriptures to prove that. Something you can do quite easily for yourself. The fig tree is given as an emblem of Israel. Remember, this is happening as the Lord Jesus is going up to Jerusalem in the last days of his life on earth. And what is given us here in picture, we find in reality when he comes into the city. There you have the profession of the worship of Jehovah. There is that glorious temple in all its resplendent beauty. There you have the priests decked out in their robes. There you have the smoke of that's ascending from the altar. There you have the smell of the incense. You have the constant excitement of all that's going on at this great time of the Feast of Passover. Throngs of people from around the world are coming now because this professedly is the center of the worship of the Lord Jehovah on the earth. And as the Lord Jesus comes up, what does he find? There's no fruit. There's no reality. There's nothing but leaves. And if there's one thing the King of Glory abominates and judges, it is empty profession. He cursed the barren fig tree with its profession of fruit, but it had nothing but leaves. The old saying is that talk is cheap. Profession is cheap. And Christ is not interested in cheap words. He abominates them. He curses them. He's looking for reality. Reality. Real sinners brought to real repentance and real faith in a real Christ, so that there is a reality to their Christian lives. That's what he's looking for. And men and women, let us understand this. Anything that does not produce the fruit of godliness in the life, anything that does not produce the fruit of the Spirit, anything that does not produce a love for Christ, a worship of Christ, a commitment to Christ, is not saving faith. That's all there is to it. He still curses the barren fig tree. You may take that of great corporate entities like the Jewish church, the Romish church, the greatest sections of the Protestant church, or a local church. You may take it of a corporate body, but you may also take it personally. The Lord wants reality.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.